What's new, pussycat? Whoa! Pussycat, you're so thrilling and I'm so willing to care for you. So go and make up your big little pussycat eyes. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat eyes. What's new, pussycat? Whoa! What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, you're delicious, and my wishes can all come true.
Hello, my fabulous radio friends, and welcome to yet another edition of Loveline. It's 11:07 p.m. This is 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. I am DJ Fresh, Power Detach Extra Crispy. And with me in the studio audience tonight is my fabulous bevy of co-hosts.
My name is Pablo, and I love you. You know that.
It's once again DJ Super Tanto.
And DJ Clip-On.
And Thomasina Gross.
Thomasina is our special lesbian guest that we've recruited from...
Ow!
We've recruited from the undergrad population of Carnegie Mellon University. And Thomasina is going to answer all kinds of powerful, deep, important questions about lesbian sex and sexuality.
That's
no
right.
Holds barred. I would just like to invite, I'd like to say welcome to all our fabulous undergrad friends, and welcome you to call us here at the WRC Studios. The phone number the phone number is 8-WRCT. If you're on campus, if you're on off campus, it's 268-WRCT or 621-WRCT.
And the country code is 1 and the area code is 412.
For internet listeners. Yeah.
So please do call and keep the cards and letters coming as before. When I think of lesbians, and I do think of lesbians.
You have big posters. Washing Corvettes.
The first question that I have, I mean, I realize that in the lesbian culture, there are many different kinds of lesbians. There are so-called lipstick lesbians, and there are butch lesbians. And I was wondering if Thomasina could clarify for us what are the various...
Well, first, whether that's true or not. That seems like a stereotype to me.
Right. Indeed. Is there a lesbian cultural paradigm?
Well, I think it's all the cultural construct that the individual wants to adopt. I mean, there are...
You got to speak simply for me over here.
The woman who identifies as butch, as femme, you know, as lipstick, lesbians, as
what is
vanilla.
So it's not only a stereotype. Lesbians do adopt those roles. Yeah.
So what is a lipstick lesbian?
It's a lesbian who wears lipstick.
Oh, but
it's everything.
I think another term for sort of a glamorous femme.
If Sharon Stone was a lesbian.
Is she a lesbian?
I hope so.
These labels are so limiting. So
do I.
You know, but I don't really, I mean, I'm not wild about slapping labels onto things, you know, especially myself. So, you know, I don't really identify with any stereotypes.
Is a femme in opposition to a butch?
Yes.
So the butch would be the more... I don't know, what, wouldn't wear lipstick? Masculine?
You know, the big keychain, the heavy boots, I don't know.
That kind of thing?
That's why so many people in the lesbian community scoffed at Bound, because the Gina Gershon character wore eye makeup.
Bound?
And she was the
What is this reference, Bound?
Bound, the movie Bound.
Oh, I'm afraid that
Jennifer Tilly, Gina Gershon.
Okay, so the butch in that movie wore eyeshadow, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Mm.
So that was a dead giveaway that it was just totally fake.
Yes, it was.
So are there lesbians that don't adopt these roles?
That don't?
Yeah, that
oh,
don't,
of course.
Do not.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought so.
I mean, just like there are, you know, heterosexual couples who don't adopt the roles of, you know, man goes out, does job, brings home bacon, woman, you know, cleans stove.
Right.
I mean, I suppose there are people who, like, really enjoy embracing the stereotype, you know, but...
While we're on the subject of stereotypes... Do you ever find, and I guess, I mean, something I've observed, it seems like lesbianism is a lot more accepted than gay male homosexuality.
Oh, well, it's so trendy these days.
What?
Both of them are trendy these days.
Yeah,
true, but at least, I mean, it seems like more straight men and even straight women, the idea of lesbian sex becomes sort of this this exciting taboo, whereas gay sex is simply looked at as, ugh, disgusting.
Yeah. Well, you know, with gay male sex, you've got the whole, you know, butt factor, you know, which just is...
The butt factor.
Watch Corey's eyes.
Bookmark that.
Bookmark the butt factor.
You'd have a whole show on the butt factor.
I don't know. I mean, I think for a long time, the sort of male porno industry has worked off of the... Well, you know, women having sex together, I don't know if you'd call it lesbianism, it's, you know, it's that kind of, you know, dewy-eyed, you know, touchy-feely, you know, drapery, you know.
Airbrushed vagina.
Airbrushed, yeah, exactly, you know, which is...
You're saying that's not realistic?
No.
I think the whole lesbian thing is, in straight pornography, is pretty clear. Like, you know, nothing pleases a man more than having, like, even more orifices to penetrate. I mean, it's just like two women instead of one. And seeing them do each other is just an extra
side show.
Maybe nobody here understands the appeal of lesbian sex to straight porno. I'm straight, but it doesn't really appeal to me either. I'd love to fantasy of being with two women myself, but not of seeing two women.
So if you two women are doing each other in front of you, you're just sort of mentally inserting yourself into the picture, so to speak.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I don't know. That's my speculation.
Hmm. Wow. Speaking from experience, then.
No, I was speaking purely of Mr. Pablo over there.
Mm-hmm.
So if any of our listeners have any three-way encounters that they'd like to share, please do call in.
8-WRCT or 621-WRCT.
I was thinking about what you said about the stereotypes of, what did you call them, butch and femme? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Are those French words?
So I was thinking
I'm turning on already.
I think if I notice two lesbians, two or more lesbians to be mathematically correct. if I notice
lesbians are in a room.
If I notice two lesbians on the street or something, they're probably going to be the butch and femme type, and that may be encouraging the stereotype. The reason I noticed those
is that you mean one butch and one femme?
One butch and one femme.
At least one butch and at least one femme.
My.
Because you see them behave like men, like mixed couples, I mean men, mm-hmm, and women, not black and white, do, and that is more unusual. Whereas if two women are both, they don't have this butch-femme relationship, if they're just... equals, I guess. Mm-hmm. They just behave like two women friends.
Yeah, so you probably wouldn't interpret their behavior as, you know, lesbianism.
Lesbianism, yeah, it's one of those isms.
Isms, yes.
Straightism, that's, yeah.
Yes.
So, Thomasina, I hope you don't mind me asking. I noticed that you project in your appearance a certain...
butch.
...paradigm. Do you consider yourself butch?
Oh, I don't know.
For the benefit of our listeners who don't have the real audio, the real video playback
the real video
enabled, we will describe Thomasina for our guests.
She is wearing black.
Okay, imagine James Dean reincarnated. No, okay.
No, James Dean with a hint of, no, you're right. James Dean with a hint of, what is it, Bob? The guy from the church. What is the church?
Bob Dobbs?
Bob Dobbs.
Oh, no.
But it's just the glasses, which are...
Just the glasses, right?
Well, they're
the Elvis Costello glasses, too.
You know, kind of.
Little Elvis-like.
And you do have a lot of slack.
50s icons.
Elvis Costello is a better one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't. Are you wearing any makeup right now?
No.
Airwalk shoes.
Is anybody in the studio wearing any makeup?
I have some scrotal powder.
Some scrotal actually, rouge.
I have pubic mascara on, but it's a little dainty.
Okay, so you said before that the male straight porno industry version of female, I mean lesbian sex, was not accurate. Is that? Did you imply that?
I don't think so.
I'm being blinded.
So what? What aspects? Well, first of all, are we all here familiar with that kind of porno?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Which type?
Lesbian, women, porno, oriented, or directed at straight men.
I'm familiar with the concept. I don't actually think I've ever sat through one.
Well, I mean,
I think we can all imagine it.
But even I would even say the film industry, even in I mean, in some blockbuster hits. I mean, Sharon Stone, namely one of them, is what was that movie? Why can't I remember?
Basic Instinct.
Basic Instinct.
I've never seen a Sharon Stone film. I think this is
part
of
my. Are you missing out?
My own cultural.
But
paradigm.
You see it a lot more in even in just you know. R-rated movies. It just comes up a hell of a lot more than gay sex. I mean, gay sex for men is always treated as this, like, you know, two queens hopping around, but you never actually see them get down and dirty.
Or the freakish serial killer always comes out to gay.
I think it's just hard to show that on TV because it involves...
Well,
but it doesn't necessarily involve anything more. I mean, it could just be an oral sexual encounter between two men. Why is that somehow...
Well, I mean, women in our culture are more allowed to be, you know... touchy with each other.
That's right.
And
I guess
intimate.
They're kind of expected
to
have that
just
effect.
To,
on
just
so,
to
I mean,
see two men being friendly to each other and maybe touching each other on the cheek is almost a taboo. So.
Right, totally. Yeah.
So I guess I don't mean to take the attention off Thomasina, but would you say, Juan, in Europe, things are different?
In Europe.
In Europe, you are a European specialist.
Not in Spain.
No.
Probably not in Italy from the 5 days that I was
definitely
there.
Definitely not in Italy.
However,
things are not
know.
Different in Spain? Or they are.
They are not. I mean, things are...
Men will be men.
The things that are allowed to be shown are probably much wider than here.
But I just
so you get to see a lot of both gay and lesbian sex, but that doesn't mean that people accept it any better.
Right.
Yeah, and lesbian sex is still accepted a lot better, I think, in general, for the, you know, masses and all that.
Lesbian sex.
I mean, on the media. Right. I mean...
So what personally. Is lesbian sex?
Right, and how is it different from what the media portrays? That's what I was trying to get at.
And that is a $65,000 question.
Yeah.
Well, I think heterosexual sex and gay male sex is kind of... well, I mean, there's a definite point at which you can say, well, they're having sex now. You know, I mean, there's penetration. Whereas with lesbians, it's very kind of nebulous. And, I mean, you know... There can be penetration, you know, there can be, well, a variety of things, you know.
Penetration, how would that work? Penetration with what?
Oh, you know.
No, I don't
no,
know.
No, we don't.
No, I'm just trying to think of an artful way to say, you know.
Don't be artful, just be.
Just be blunt.
The word dildo seems to come to my
yeah,
mind.
Yeah, dildos
I don't
are,
know.
I mean, you know, fists.
Fists?
Fists, fingers,
oh.
Anything, you know, long and pointy.
Fists.
See you Chasing Amy.
Yep.
Fantastic film.
This is the movie Chasing Amy about
fists.
Well, there's an interesting description of a female to female fisting.
And they like that.
Oh well, I don't.
Reserved
know.
For quote special occasions.
Really.
That sounds painful. That looks painful.
Well, think that
I'm,
a baby
I'm
passes
holding my
through there. Though.
Yeah, but it's
I mean,
painful.
Yeah, but for the baby, there's a lot of biochemical things that get ready.
And
it's still painful.
Enjoy childbirth for
yeah.
Well, I don't think when you fist someone, it's. I mean, you don't just like start off fisting. I mean,
punching
you know, you kind of work into it. You know.
Boom! Boom!
Oh no! Oh God!
Well, of course, I also heard that some, at least some gay men do that.
Oh yeah.
Also, and that's even more painful.
Whoop,
I mean, anally seems
well,
a little worse.
It's certainly dangerous.
So anyway, you said that there could be penetration. What other sort of things?
I just want to, I just object here?
Back
I think
it
this,
up, back
I,
it
you
up.
Know, it, this comment that you made that somehow penetration is the magic, and I've made this comment before, is the magic division between what's not really sex and what is actually officially sex. I think it's totally absurd. I mean, whenever you...
Don't talk to me, man.
Well,
I didn't make
whenever you get two people together, they can, whatever pleases each other, you know, performing any kind of pleasurable act on the other person is what I consider...
But you must admit that it's more difficult to draw a line and to be
well,
able to say, I had sex last night. No, well, I don't know if I had sex.
Well, we just read Ezra Pound poetry.
Right. Some delicious Paul Newman's microwave popcorn.
That,
is that sex?
Well, if I pop a boner, it is. I mean, I think that...
So is sex just an orgasm?
Nice. Put that away, Corey.
Speaking of orgasms,
bonus.
What is she doing back there?
So I think the whole idea that a line should be drawn is just a ridiculous artifact of your cultural paradigm.
No, no, no. I think the point was that the line doesn't need to be drawn.
Yeah.
But if you...
Just as the line between what is male, what is female, what is butch, what is femme. Exactly. Right. You know, any polar opposites. I mean,
as soon as a woman is lapping at another woman's...
Oh,
the line. The line doesn't have to be drawn, but if you want an answer to the question, what is lesbian sex, then you have to draw a line.
Well, you don't have to draw a line. You just have to give examples of the kinds of pleasurable things that women do to each other.
I agree. That's a good idea. So what are some examples of...
Okay, let's get to the dirt.
Oh my!
Oh, it's not dirt.
What's your favorite fantasy or reality?
Oh my!
Sorry, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I'm sorry.
What do you imagine yourself doing if, well, right now, if you could be having sex instead of being with us? If
right now,
we're any female hosts.
Let's see.
Producer Kate.
Well, actually, I find great pleasure in kissing. I love it. I think it's fabulous.
Is this lip to lip kissing?
Well, yes.
Which lip?
The lip that's on your face.
The lips that never speak.
Unless you read William S. Burroughs.
Yes. Juan spent many nights under the covers as a 14-year-old. Or maybe that was me.
So kissing is
I think kissing is very underrated. I think it's fabulous.
Nipple rubbing, no doubt.
Well, you know, the nipples actually, for some women, and for some women, it's just like you're, pinching their arm or something. I mean, erogenous zones really differ quite a lot from individual to individual.
Do you have a particular E zone, as it were?
L zone in this case.
Do I have a particular?
I believe I worked tokens to get through the E zone.
I believe the producer has a comment. Kate?
I would just like to say that whole nipple thing is highly overrated for a lot of people. I think that varies very much with the individual.
Yeah,
you shouldn't really assume that most women like that.
Interesting.
I agree. It varies a lot.
I mean, I've been totally shocked by this notion. I've heard that women can have nipple your orgasms.
Nipple what orgasms?
Nipular.
Nipular.
That's a great word.
Our esteemed hostess, who is not here tonight, she's currently in Jamaica on field horticulture assignment, is capable of that. And
are you serious?
Nipular orgasm?
Yes.
Of course.
Nipular. That could have been. It was a long time ago that happened. Like I think she was 15 and I was 17.
I've witnessed that too. I don't think it's that rare. But on the other hand, I've also been with women.
Probably not that common either.
When you say you've witnessed it, you said it in such a way that led me to believe that you weren't.
Oh no, I was very involved.
I meant Pablo.
Yeah. Well, I witnessed because I could be detached. I could be the actor and still be detached because it wasn't creating an orgasm in me.
Okay. But were you the one manipulating?
I was the one manipulating. Yes, new verb. Okay. But then on the other hand, some women like Kate said, it varies a lot. Some women, it's like cooking an omelet. Actually, an omelet is more pleasant.
What about men?
Did you say an omelet?
Has any man ever had
I love
an orgasm.
If you've had a nipular orgasm,
please call now.
412-621-WRCT.
Or if you're on campus 8, WRCT.
It's much simpler that way. Well, this brings up a whole interesting thing, and I guess this kind of is my little tweak on sexuality between, like, lesbianism, gay sex, and, quote, bisexuality. And I actually prefer...
You have an axe to grind.
When he's like,
bisexuality.
When I think about sex and what turns me on about turning a woman on is very much a, quote, lesbian sex experience. Like, male-to-female penetration for me does not cut it. It's not the thing that brings me off. It's certainly not the thing that I feel is the top-notch thing I can do for the woman I'm with, and I am so much more into getting down and dirty and doing something that a woman could very easily do, if not, it's more common for women to do.
So it doesn't require a penis, basically.
Right, exactly. Like, I could care less about that.
This is more of the lapping scenario we were talking about earlier.
Exactly. I mean, and that brings up a whole other show on men who need to get over themselves who aren't into that, but sorry.
Boy, it's getting dark in here. Why is it getting so dark?
Because it's pleasant that way.
Is it?
Well,
it makes me uncomfortable.
Well, then we'll turn the light on. There you go. DJ has turned the light on. So, Okay. So
anyway,
you like
so I don't know why I said that, but it's it. I think there comes this distinction where men are expected to behave towards women, and in a certain way sexually, and women are expected to, you know, play a certain way.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's very important for straight men to look at lesbian. I think actually looking at some lesbian pornography, but I think it should be more real than what we do see. Well, not we. I'm not trying to include myself.
I'm trying to get at what lesbian pornography, the real one, would be.
You mean
right.
like what
would
porn made by lesbians?
Right. Is there real yeah. lesbian
oh,
porn?
Oh yeah,
must
sure,
be.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That is in like photographic and
good vibrations form? Catalog.
But yeah, that's more good. Cartoony though.
Oh.
Like I want photographs, like and movies. And
I certainly think
that pornography is animated.
I think animation would work, but playing picture, playing cartoon now.
Yeah. You mean like a still picture?
Not a comic strip.
Yeah,
I
like
comic
still
strip.
Pictures.
Why aren't there lesbian skin rags?
Well,
there used to be. I mean, there was On Our Backs, and there was Girlfriends used to have a centerfold. Let's see.
Well, would,
I know
would,
a lot of
would
lesbian
straight
women
men be turned on by this?
Oh, I don't know. It
There's
depends
a lot
on
of
the straight man.
And bisexual women are actually by Playboy and Penthouse, but again, the same situation is that it's like this is so soft. Like this is not.
Yeah, it's like the kind of women in Playboy really do nothing for me.
Right.
They're kind of too femme for you, or too like.
Well.
Whatever they are.
You know.
Plastic?
Yes, exactly. They're too plastic.
They're too plastic for me.
I've never met anyone, you know, like that. I probably, you know, never will. I mean, there's probably so much plastic in them that you could melt them down for Barbie dolls. You know?
You should try foreign editions of Playboy.
Foreign editions?
Yeah, they cater to foreign taste, not to the, you know.
Women with hairy legs.
Are you calling me a foreigner?
No, but thing. You have sensitivities that are not the ones of advertisements on TV at prime time. So.
That's true.
Producer Kate was a Playboy playmate at some point, was she not?
Yeah.
In Sweden, was it not?
It was the July 78 issue.
I'm sorry, I missed that issue.
It was straddling that.
You know, a lot of people, a lot of personalities in this country do work overseas that they don't allow imported back into the country. Like, you know, Tom Cruise does car commercials in Japan, for example. So, and I think producer Kate did the same thing, not to affect her.
Corey, I think you're confusing that with that brief stint I did with the Barbie twins back last
uh-huh.
year.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
That was a fabulous film. Congratulations.
No, thank you very much.
My VCR ate the tape.
Yes, I won an award for that. Thank you.
And that you should.
So, details. We need details. What is this porn like?
What is this porn like?
Well, okay, so you start kissing. Yeah,
perhaps.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
The stereotype I have in my mind is that sort of porn intended for men is all like, you know, kinky and nasty and devoted to like close-ups of like genital
labia.
Organs.
Yeah.
And lesbian pornography is like, you know, soft focus shots of people dancing with little frilly dresses and
I bet
totally wrong
and moving in together and
getting the U-Haul. It's turning me on.
Right, exactly. So
is that correct?
lesbian porn?
Yeah.
No, I think I've never actually seen like a specifically lesbian porno, but you know, from sex scenes in lesbian made films. You know, such as, you know, Go Fish and The Watermelon Woman and
Watermelon Woman.
That was a good one. And the incredibly true adventures of Two Girls in Love. I mean, it's very, but those were, you know, kind of screen movies too, so I don't think they could show genitalia. But, you know, I think given the opportunity, a lesbian porn maker probably wouldn't, because that's not where the focus is.
Where, what does that mean, that's not where the focus? What's not the focus?
Where is the focus?
I think,
it's not on the sex, the mechanics.
Well, right. I think in all relationships, in sex, the emphasis isn't in, you know, insert tab A into slot B.
But indeed, that is indeed exactly the emphasis of any porn movie we're seeing.
Is
a thin veneer of plot.
But Alan Alda doesn't watch, you know, porn movies.
Tab A into slot B.
But what I'm saying is because lesbians don't have, you know, the plumbing, the kind of...
The instructions cannot be as
okay,
as
well, anyway.
Simple.
What I was meant to say is that the emphasis on, you know, the relationship, well, not the relationship, but, you know, the chemistry and, you know, just the sheer
it is, it's
sexuality
exactly
is so much, more because, you know, what else is there?
Really. They're sort of dancing around in curly stuff.
Curly
and,
dresses.
Like, mood music and whatnot.
And they move in together and...
What have you been watching?
I'm just responding.
Where did you get the Philly? I mean, it's all true except for the Philly dresses. No, I'm just kidding. All
right, so they're wearing flannel shirts, but I mean, what I said sounds basically accurate.
Tool belts. No, I just say that there is nothing else other than the relationship.
No,
sex,
I was
that's totally,
no, I'm just
kidding. Yeah,
orgasm
is very sexy, whoever it was. Yeah, whoever it is. Yeah.
You know.
Would the woman be moaning and whatnot?
A convulsion, a pair of hips moving. I think it's sexy whether she's with a man or with a woman, I imagine, no?
Ooh. That sounds so nice, especially with an accent.
Well, you know,
there's that joke they say about, you know, lesbians, but you call a lesbian with large fingers well hung.
Nice.
So, I mean, obviously, you know.
I think, I have another question. It's kind of shifting off of the focus of sex, but more onto the focus of sexuality. And budding sexuality. As it were. When in your own life did you really realize that you were attracted to women? In more than just a, friendship type of way, but like, wow, I really like women.
Get down.
A lot.
When I was 16, I fell in love with this woman actress at the university, the town I lived in. And at the time, I regarded it as... I just look after her as the sister I never had, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
I always
wanted to sleep with my sister, so that kind of thing.
But I didn't think of it as, I mean, at the time, I didn't, you know, sexuality-wise, I didn't really realize that I had any options. So, you know.
You wanted to be her special little pal, but you didn't really realize.
Exactly. You know, it was one of those things where you know, it's like, oh, I want to spend every minute of the day with you, and I want to,
How old were you?
I was 16.
And how old are you now, if I may ask?
I'm 20.
20.
So when you were 16, you didn't feel feel strange because there was all this sexuality around you, I imagine, in high school.
Oh, there was. It was a very sort of Patty Duke time in my life. You know, it was sort of this, what's this strange new feeling?
Right, but you didn't, budding. You couldn't allow yourself to feel that sexuality because you had to cast it in terms of friendship or role models
or stuff. You know, but that's not all social. I mean... At that time, I was a very sort of asexual person just because of the family I grew up in. We're all, you know, they're all academics, and it's very sort of...
Hey.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm saying academics are sexy, but, you know...
Don't knock down academics.
But I'm just saying,
you
know...
Don't knock them until you try
them, baby. Yeah.
Don't knock them until you knock them.
Yeah, right. So, okay.
But never before that, like, did you ever kind of translate any of your feelings?
Well, actually, no. I did have this crush on this girl, Jesse McNeil, when I was in eighth grade. That's true. I completely forgot about that.
Jesse McNeil, if you're out there,
please do give us a call. The phone number.
She was my lab partner in science. We dissected a fetal pig.
Your lab partner?
Yeah, I wish. Lab partner. We dissected a fetal pig together. It was one of the most special moments of my life.
Wow. Between any two people.
Because I don't know. At least my own. Like, I mean, I remember actually being. Really enamored with somebody in third grade, like a boy in third grade, and not being able to really understand that, but like just being like, wow, this kid is so cute. Like, I really.
But it was cute, like physical attraction, like you're saying.
Like, it was really.
Oh yeah, I'd always.
And that's definitely something that I hadn't really thought about until I like in. Just kind of like dissected my own. Sexuality.
Dissected your own.
I'm always interested to find exactly my own fetal pig. You're never.
And what was in the trachea?
Yeah. But I mean, I guess it's something. It's a question I'm interested in with a lot of people: is when did they start feeling this, and especially in terms of acceptance, because I think oftentimes we're not willing to. I mean, I know men and women alike who don't accept college lesbians. They're like, oh well, all women are lesbians in college.
Oh, lugs.
Exactly. It's just
lesbians
like
until graduation.
Yeah, exactly. And until you get out of that, you know, we can't even take you seriously. And I think that's really unfair.
Yeah.
It's unfair to do it to high school students, junior high school students. And I think a lot of kids, and this is going to sound really weird, but I think a lot of kids actually even in elementary school really start to show signs that, like, they have serious affections for the same sex.
Well, actually, recently there was this 13-year-old or 12-year-old, I think, in Oregon, who came out as a lesbian, and actually she got a lot of flack from the lesbian community.
Really?
Because they were like, well, how can you know, you know? Mm. And she's like, well, I expected, you know, to be questioned, but not
like this.
Not like this, you know.
Not by you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, you're too young, you know, wait a few years, you know.
Hmm. Sure. You'd think they'd be happy to have her in,
yeah, exactly.
In the
like,
club.
Hey, here's fresh your toaster
meat.
Oven.
Exactly.
Fresh meat.
Turkey baster. Go.
So, but I'm fascinated by this, like, touching little story of yours. This woman, this actress, singer, whatever.
Yes. This, she was an actress. She was an MFA student at the university.
Did she return any of your affections? Did she allow you to hang out with her?
Or was, oh, she, yeah. Like, she was very nice, which actually almost made it worse.
Well, nice.
You know?
How nice.
It's the sort of, when you have a crush on a straight girl sort of syndrome, and, you know, you get to be really close friends, and it's torture. You know, it's absolute torture, because you're like, you know.
I have
and
been there, honey, so many
oh,
times.
Yeah.
Oh, we all have.
But the thing is, I mean, in regards to what, you know, you were saying, mm-hmm. of course, I'm, like, gesturing here, which, I think, you know, you've, can't at least I you. Have had, you know, sexual attraction to people, but it really was never important until I realized that what I was feeling was an attraction. I mean, I can look back in retrospect on, you know, the Jesse McNeils and say, ooh, right. I was attracted
to her. Well, so you don't know baby. Now.
Of yeah, course, exactly.
But of course, I had
but at
great
the time, I had no clue. I mean, I didn't even think about it.
But at that age, I, of course, had great male friends who I maybe perhaps even loved, but it wasn't.
Did you ever
I don't think that made me gay.
Physically attractive, though, and like, wow, you know, I really want to see this person, like,
naked.
Out of their clothes.
I want to
like,
play doctor
yeah, I
want to
play doctor with this person, and I'm like 10, and that's weird. Like, well, not weird, but it's just, it's not what is socially acceptable.
Well, the atmosphere of transgression appealed to me, but no, I guess not with a particular person.
I think it's all very confusing. I think sexual attraction versus, you know, hero worship versus just
yeah,
being really
yeah.
drawn to
and
somebody.
And that's what I interpreted the actress. I'm like, I just worship you, you know.
And people
well, the three are very close. It's hard
yeah,
to separate.
Yeah, it really
people
is.
People who are looking charismatic are very magnetic for a number of reasons.
No matter what sex they are and what orientation you have. No
and,
doubt.
And those of us who have that quality really find the burden.
Actually, for a long time, I thought I had defined my sexuality as this very unique situation where I was sexually attracted to men, I thought, and when I ever thought of myself, like, in a relationship, you know, like, making toast for someone in the morning or filling out taxes with someone, it was with a woman, you know, but I never thought I could be sexually attracted to a woman, you
so
know.
Your primary sexual fantasies involve toast.
Yeah, that's right.
Texas.
It's Texas toast, yeah,
Texas
the big
toast.
Thick slabs.
I find this dung of sexuality very interesting topic.
What
I wish somebody
what
would
what?
Call us with a good
not
story.
The
dung of sexuality.
Dong?
I heard dong.
Not
or
the dong.
Dong.
No, without the G. Dong.
The dong.
The dawn of
sexuality.
The sexuality.
621 WRCT, please call.
Or,
yeah. WRCT.
If you happen to be here.
On campus.
Maybe you had a little struggle like this. Maybe you thought you were gay and then you realized you were straight. That would be good to hear, too.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. So you don't expect to be a lug?
Oh,
are you a lesbian now?
I would call myself that, yeah.
And lesbian graduate. For life?
Well, you know, I've got the card and everything.
Exactly.
I'm a card carrier.
Got the tattoo, the card, I'm all set. Here we go.
No, I mean, you know, it's like, how long can you imagine yourself being interested in, you know, chemistry or whatever your major is? I mean, I anticipate, you know, being a lesbian.
Chemistry is a recurring topic in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then physics, biology.
We do have a special
computer
offer.
Science.
Is that correct, Don Messina?
Yes, that is correct.
That is the first caller.
I thought it was the ninth. Don't think we've got nine callers?
That's
it could take
that's
a while.
That's pushing it. Maybe the second caller.
The second caller wins a date with Thomasina.
Oh.
Preferably female.
Yummy.
Hey, now.
So, hopefully that'll get the phones ringing.
No promises on that date, though.
I know Jordan's
going to
be making long-distance calls from Jamaica. I just know it. Those are the numbers. So, wow. We've covered
hello?
So much ground.
Mom! What are you doing?
I've got a question, and it's a little bit off topic, but how is – I'm interested in your role as a lesbian in the dominant campus cultural paradigm. How are you accepted as a lesbian in this community? Are you shunned?
Well, I wouldn't say that, no.
I mean, like, are people very accepting? Like, what does it feel like?
Do people know you're a lesbian? When you're
I think they do now. You know, I've only had this haircut for a little while. Well, I mean, before.
Tomasino's not a very common name. When they hear the show, they'll certainly
That's right, know, you know. Yeah. That's right. And I'll go all known. I'll be horribly embarrassed. No.
Outed on the air.
Why are we all looking at Kate?
We're looking at Kate.
Did she have something on her face?
Remember that issue from 78 and piece it back together.
So, yeah, go ahead.
How am I regarded by the campus community? Oh, God, I don't know. You know, how can you ever tell?
Well, you feel like you belong to a community. That's really an achievement, I think.
Well, you know, what I was saying about the hair is I think I've always looked kind of dykey, you know? You know, I just walk into a room and I set off
people's
skaters.
You look kind of dykey.
You know, and I always have. You know, it's like a physical thing, you know, but... Finally, I just went with it, you know, dropped all the hair off, you know.
Well, it's funny because you had mentioned something earlier on the show that, and this is something I know, I have a friend who, in high school, we always used to tell her she was a lesbian, and she was like, you know, stop that, no, I'm not, mm-hmm, cropped mm-hmm. hair, very tomboyish, mm-hmm. you know, great girl, we still a great friend, really wonderful person. And
even though she's lesbian.
Exactly. No, actually, well, she's bisexual. Now.
Oh, well, that's just okay.
Exactly. Totally acceptable. No, but it wasn't until college where she actually then came out, but was completely like, no, in high school. And we're like, no, you are. Like, you are lesbian. Like, and we might have done it more out of the physical stereotype that she was filling, but there were some other things about her, too, that we were just like, there's just too many cues here.
Oh, yeah. And my friends in high school were, you know, Tomasina, you're having crushes on all these women, but you're not a lesbian? No? What do you think that is?
Well, you were in high school in your native Germany, is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Excellent. They were so accepting.
Yeah, very.
Did you find any shunning in high school? You mentioned you were asexual then, or somewhat.
Yeah, I really was. I was like Michael Jackson, I guess. No,
well,
no chimps.
He's very
so.
Sexual. But
yeah. Okay. Well, never mind. That was a wrong plastic, analogy.
Another side of plastic.
I was very asexual in high school. What was the question?
I don't remember.
It was simply, were you finding any criticism or social misacceptance or disacceptance?
Oh, sure. I mean, I grew up in the Midwest. And, you know,
oh, I
you've
see.
Got,
I'm
you know,
sorry.
You've got
but you're in the Midwest and you say you're accepted here. So that is the difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it totally depends on the circles you move in. I mean.
Mm-hmm. The CMU Women's Center, is that a total dyke hotspot, or what's up with that?
Has the reputation of being, is that correct?
I couldn't, yes, I really think it does. In fact, there's apparently a Women's Center haircut. We have an official haircut.
Oh, yeah, wow. As part of the car carrying.
Well, yeah, I guess, but...
Well, I know some straight
really
women who are involved in that center, so
yeah, I mean,
it's a generality, it's, of course, but yeah.
Yeah, it. I mean, you know, to be perfectly honest, the only reason why I ever go to meetings is, you know, to pick up chicks, but, you know, that doesn't mean that...
So could that work for me as well?
I don't think so,
you know.
It's just, I actually had a real criticism of the Women's Center when I first got here. There's that mural on the back wall, which has this, you know, Adam and Eve type thing, but there's this third woman the second woman in the picture.
Oh,
she's
the
kind
little
of,
flying one?
Yeah, the flying woman who's coming in and kind of like saving Eve, and Adam's all over in the corner, very disgruntled and crumpled up and like getting totally dissed.
Gee, and interesting.
Yeah, you know, and it seems to still, like, it strikes this chord of almost forced, like you go in and somehow if you're not very open to lesbianism, and even if you're not even kind of, I just get this sense that like they're kind of, there was this kind of push, like, hey, you know, you're coming to the Women's Center, that means you think men are bad, or men should be kind of pushed off to the side, and I think that can be a real destructive attitude, and sometimes, and I mean, I don't know whether, I'm certainly not going to criticize the Women's Center too much, because I think they do a lot of really great things, but I definitely don't think the mural is horribly appropriate. In that context.
I need to interrupt you too. I believe we have a caller to the WRCT studios. Is the caller there?
Hello?
Hello.
Caller.
Oh.
Caller, what's your name, please?
I'm really nervous to call. But anyway, my name is Brian.
Brian.
Oh, you don't have to give your real name, unless you just did.
Sorry. No, Brian's my real name.
What's up, Brian?
Well, I just have to say, I just got here, and really pretty amazed at the show. I've just been tuning in.
Got where?
You're a freshman?
Got to Pittsburgh or got to campus?
No, at CMU here. Ah. I just got here. And I was listening to football, and then this came on, and it's like, oh, my God, so amazing. So, but anyway, I had a kind of question for Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Tomasina, which was that...
Is Zoe your girlfriend or something? Are you... Anyway, go on.
You're having fantasies about some other woman?
I'm having a few fantasies. But my question was, you know, would you... You know, I know you're a lesbian and everything, but would you be willing to go out with a straight guy just to try it? Because I've always had this kind of fantasy of going out with a lesbian.
I'd rather not.
So, Brian, where does this fantasy come from? Why do you feel like you want to conquer a lesbian, or what?
Convert her, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
No, not.
Lesbians are more
do
sensual,
our snappy haircuts
perhaps?
Just turn you on?
Or more in touch with their sexuality? And what is it about lesbians that intrigues you so much?
Yeah, well, I guess I've hung out with some before, and they just seem more interesting.
Well, that's legit. I mean, mm-hmm. I can honestly say every woman I've ever been with has been...
The most interesting woman.
No. has been not horribly stereotypically feminine. And not to say that some lesbians can't be feminine.
Horribly.
Can be very feminine. But, like, I mean, just aren't like your
horribly feminine.
Your striking image. Not,
I
not
think
like
we need to return to that.
Okay,
point.
Penthouse feminine, let me horribly. Put it that way. Or Playboy
horribly.
Feminine.
Horrible
like this
feminine.
Kind of things. No, it, horribly is just my adjective
okay.
or like
okay.
of the day.
Very,
but
very
I mean,
feminine.
I think I would share in Brian's concern, and not concern, but desire, because I've always found lesbian women and very butchy women, as we've been using, to be extremely attractive.
Is that the case with you, Brian? You appreciate dominant butchy women?
Well, yeah, I guess, and just kind of they seem cooler, you know.
Are you a complete heterosexual, Brian?
I guess, yeah. I'm not sure. Maybe I've thought about other stuff, but
other
never
stuff.
Done anything else.
Because I find that a lot of gay men are actually attracted to lesbian women because of there is this kind of not only this acceptance of them, but there's also this kind of masculine side to them. And I actually think that's a lot of my own attraction is that I'm very attracted to the maleness in the female. So maybe there's some other things you want to think about exploring. You know.
Maybe, I had this.
And since Tomasina has rejected you, maybe you want
maybe,
to consider Chris.
Well, I'm kind of tied up right now. Well, not literally, but but you know, I've got some available friends who would be more than happy to.
Oh, for God's sake, Chris.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. Brian, I'm very flattered. I have to say I'm very flattered. But you know, I...
Well, I understand. I
don't understand. So why not? Why close yourself off to the male population of the planet? Oh, we have another caller on the line, too, so...
Well, yeah, to answer that question really quick, I don't, you know, as is, you know, if anyone who saw Chasing Amy, you know, why would I close off the chances of finding the one true love in you know, 50% of the population? I don't, but, you know, right now I'd just like to bark, you know, do the chick thing.
Do the chick
thing. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess I'll bow out and let the other caller on.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, thanks,
so much
Brian.
For
But Thomas, you know, you're fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for calling, Brian.
So do we have our second caller?
It'll take a few seconds to transfer the technology over to the other phone line.
Boy, I hope it's a female.
Yeah. Hello?
Let's cross our fingers.
Do we?
Hello?
We may have a broken patch number one. Maybe patch number two is the correct one to use.
I see.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Start
hello.
Again.
Hello.
It's a female.
Hey.
Hey.
What
hey.
Is your name, female?
Di.
Hi, Di.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
She's a lesbian, too.
You're a lesbian? Hi, Di. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Di, I think you should lower the volume on your radio receiver because...
I left the room. I know. You're getting confused.
That's right.
That was fine. So what's the topic, Di?
The topic is sex talk, isn't it?
You yes, it is.
Lesbians and stuff like that.
It definitely is. So where do you fit in? Why are you calling?
Oh, I'm a lesbian.
Oh, excellent.
I'm enjoying the show. I listen to you guys. I'm a native Pittsburgher, and I listen to you guys off and on.
That's good.
Fantastic.
Well,
what's that?
You're one of our many thousands of listeners, and we're always glad to hear from you. So Di, if you have a word of lesbian wisdom you can share with us, what can you tell our listeners about what is the most supreme thing about being a lesbian?
Well, actually, you heterosexual men should know this.
Excuse me, I'm not in that. There aren't
any. I think Corey is crippled in that capacity.
Maybe two halves of a heterosexual man.
I'm supposed to be stuttering. And nervous and all that.
Oh, nothing to be nervous about.
We're a very accepting crowd.
Yeah, I see that. I just like being with women.
Right on.
And I feel like as far as like Brian goes, I don't feel accepted by a lot of heterosexual men. I'm a little bit, I guess what you call butchier, and I feel sometimes like I'm a threat, you know, which I don't try to be.
Do you feel this threat in public, like on the bus or at the?
Oh yeah.
I mean, do people look at you strangely, or do you?
Oh, yeah, my job. I can't say what I do.
Right.
But like even at my job, I, you know.
How do they know that you're a lesbian? Do you think? It's not even if I am
a lesbian. What I look like and what I dress like and how I act determines that I'm a lesbian. Even if I wasn't,
yeah,
I would still be considered. Mm. You know, there's butch women out there that aren't lesbians, and there's a lot of feminine women that, you know, very beautiful that you would never think.
Mm-hmm.
As lesbians.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
But I'm the one that walks down the street and you say, oh, there's a lesbian.
Yeah.
Even if they're not right, they just make this assumption.
Exactly.
Would that ever make you change how you carry yourself or look?
No, because I am who I am, and, right, and regardless of my sexuality, who I am is who I am. I don't try to act a certain way, or
so,
you know, be somebody I'm not, or be somebody. Period. I'm just me.
I almost feel that you think this is the second best option. If the fairy could make you the dream of all males in this great continent, would you take the chance and maybe try a man?
Excuse me?
I didn't even understand that.
That didn't even
make any sense.
Yeah, forget it.
I think Pablo was just asking, if you could magically become straight and heterosexual, would you?
And lovely to men.
Well, actually, to be honest with you, with all the trouble that we have in not just this country, but all over the world, yeah. Actually, I would, because it would be a lot easier, you know? People think that this is a choice, and, you know, it's something like I saw in the news today, being left-handed is in your DNA. Mm. And I believe that eventually they're going to find that, you know, being gay or being lesbian is somewhere in your DNA. It's not necessarily a choice. But there are, however, people that do make choices.
True.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I mean, I actually feel a little bit differently. I feel that being a homosexual is so integrated into my personality that I don't think I would take the option. I mean, if I could be reinvented as a different person.
I mean, what I'm saying is as far as acceptance goes. You know what I mean? Not necessarily.
Right. It would be nice to
do that for itself, but to do that so that, you know, I wouldn't have to put up with, you know, the prejudices and the hate and all that I have to.
Right, I totally agree. I wish I could wave a magic wand and make everyone more accepting.
So do you find, I mean, and I guess, do you have gay male friends?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I was wondering, do you ever compare stories in terms of, like, how much you feel oppressed or, like, what you deal with on a daily basis in terms of, like, discrimination and other things? I mean, does it seem to be fairly equal, or are you're both dealing with similar things, or is it kind of a different type of discrimination?
I think in a way it's different, but it depends on the male too. It depends on, you know, like somebody that's like real flamboyant,
mm-hmm,
is less accepted as is myself than somebody that like looks straight, and, you know, could pass in the heterosexual world. It's that, you know.
Right.
Yeah, quite frankly, if I had the choice between being a gay man and being a lesbian, I think the life of a lesbian is much easier in terms of that. Mm-hmm. I think gay men really get the short end of the stick, if you'll pardon the expression.
The short end of the magic wand, I think.
The short end of the magic wand, yeah, because for some reason, being manly and being womanly, there's the balance is kind of mixed up.
Definitely.
So I guess you don't feel very accepted in your community.
Oh, my community, like in the gay community. Yes, I feel very accepted.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in the overall community, I mean, it's not. And it's not just a gay and lesbian thing. It's a black thing, a white thing, a Latino thing. We're all dividing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. Do you find that Pittsburgh is exceptional in that case? That we have more divisions.
No, not necessarily.
Yeah. I guess I've had a person living with me now who moved in from the East Coast and has just commented time and time again how amazingly segregated she finds this city in terms of, you know, we have our hills, we have Squirrel Hill, which is very Jewish, and then we have, you know, the East End of Shadyside, which is very gay, and then you've got all these other areas, and it seems like there's some real cultural and socioeconomic pockets that exist in the city. Sorry. Perhaps I'm
the topic rare. Is sex.
But that could definitely fit in.
Yeah, and I'm the second caller, so when we go on out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn.
The second caller.
Hubba hubba.
So what do I do? Do I don't want to get a phone number over the air or anything.
No, you can't do that.
Producer Kate, can she stay on the line and give you her phone number?
She can.
We'll do that once we've got the caller off the air.
Oh, right.
Wow, well, I can... Can you feel it? Love is blossoming.
How old are you, Dad?
I'm in my 30s.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Early.
Early.
Early to mid, I don't know.
What?
17.
How old am I?
Yeah, how old are you?
I'm 20.
Yeah, I'm 17. No, I'm not.
Yeah, you know what they say about mature women. When is a woman's sexual peak? It's...
Oh,
yeah, it's 30s.
She's feeling it. She's on top of the damn peak.
Right now.
Get on the phone.
Well, I look forward to the date, Di.
All right.
Thank you for calling, Di.
Okay,
Thank you.
Another caller, I hope. Yeah,
very interesting caller.
Very interesting. Well, so when was your first sexual experience?
Tell you when it happens.
It hasn't happened yet.
Hold on. We have.
Should we know this in 3 minutes?
Not only are you a lesbian, but you're a lesbian virgin. Did I understand that correctly?
I'm a 100% virgin. I haven't had sex with a man, a woman.
But you've kissed.
Yes.
You've probably gone a little beyond that.
Oh yes.
So right. Maybe you've had sex.
Oh, you said, oh yes, a little beyond.
And again.
Oh yes.
Here we need to go in the whole description. Well, what is oh yes? Is that oral sex or
the O is for. Oral. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Is, I mean, if without getting too personal, although that's what we're about here. I mean,
well, my experience with women has been something like this. I'll give you the breakdown. Okay. First, there's the kissing. I mean, and that's kind of testing the waters. And then there's the real kissing.
Do you object to me masturbating while you tell the story?
Oh, go right ahead. Can you turn? No, that way. Okay, so we've got deep kissing.
Wait. So this is so categorical. So you,
yes,
you
I know.
We need more sensual details.
Okay, so we've got deep kissing plus boob groping.
Was this with your friend? What was her name? Heather? Brenda?
No. And we have the number.
We have the number.
Producer Kate looks like she's going to keep it for herself. I think
you better get back there.
Scratch her eyes out.
So we've
got deep kissing plus boob groping. Let's see, which may or may not proceed to the loss of one or more shirts.
How many shirts are you wearing?
Yeah, actually, I wear quite a few shirts. Okay. No, but actually, the bra is maintained for, I would say, a longer period of time than in heterosexual encounters. Mm. I think. I don't know.
I think you may have seen too many movies.
Yeah, that's possible. No, but I
think there's a definite layering in heterosexual encounters.
Layering. Yeah, there's definitely layering. Yes. You dress in layers. Yes.
I think the bra was
I think most people do.
against.
Oh, I love bras.
Really?
Yes.
It takes a while for the bra to come off, and I think that's not too different from heterosexual.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, it just depends on.
Okay.
Oh, fabulous.
Well, a little longer. We have gotten permission from the FCC to continue a little after midnight. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. This is Love Line, and we're talking to Tomasina.
Lesbian line.
It's lesbian line tonight.
It's lesbian line.
The phone numbers, 621 WRCT.
And my phone numbers, oh, just kidding.
268 WRCT. And I noticed we have to give the numerical codes, too, for those of you who don't have letters on your phone. 9728 268 9728.
Country code 1, area code 412. So we were talking about Tomasina's first experience.
Or like thereof.
Or the typical first experience.
Let me explain the whole dearth of Nookie for Tomasina.
Dearth of Nookie?
Dearth of Nookie. If I wrote an autobiography, it would be called The Dearth,
dearth of Nookie.
I suggest you call it Fortage and the Dearth of Nookie.
Fortage?
French.
Oh, yeah. Booch.
Booch Nookie.
We've
already been there.
I think that's so cute. I'm sorry.
The fromage.
This is... This is the end of the digression. Okay.
Right. Okay.
The Dearth of Nookie.
So then the bras come off. And
well,
there's...
now we've got Diane's phone number, I think. Times are going to be changing, baby.
And then there's the whole, you know, nipple thing, and, you know, and
no,
then...
No, back
up. At this point, you're...
The whole nipple thing.
The whole
There's so many things you can do with those
things.
You don't really... I got to understand, what's the lesbian take on the whole nipple thing?
What's the lesbian take on the whole nipple thing?
You already told us that you're lesbian.
Has the bra come off yet?
Yes.
Well, where were you?
The bra, there is no... The bra was burned in, like, seventh grade.
So the bra comes off, and, yeah, well, I think there's some, you know, digital nipular contacts, you know, before the oral nipular
contact. And what about nipular contact?
Oh, no. That's only in movies. That's so tacky.
Oh, good. That's the right thing.
We need
to know
this stuff.
Yeah.
No. It's, like, inevitable. And, like, there's some scene with, like, the breasts coming together, the symmetry.
And you just
which
laugh
I just, at I, it's hilarious. It's absolutely hilarious. Yeah.
Well, maybe
it would never happen. Huh?
Artistic license for the visual effect, perhaps.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Well, we can never say never on
that's true.
On I mean, I'm sure there might
I mean,
be
if,
some.
Of course, if you're, you know, aligned correctly, you know, it happens. You know, you look down and, hey.
They're touching.
They're touching.
Right. Electric.
Mm. So we've got nipular.
So this has happened? There's been a woman licking your breasts?
Yes.
I think that qualifies as sex. I don't think you're a virgin anymore.
I think
really?
You're
really? I mean, but no.
As long as it did it feel good? Were you like happy?
Well, it was very short-lived.
Oh.
See, well, I'll tell you why. Because at that point, this is about the point where you make a grab.
The busted in and...
no.
Mr. Roper busted in.
Let the bush talk.
Hey, now. This is about the time where you make a move for the honeypot.
Right.
And that is usually the point at which the girl freaks out and says, I don't want to do this.
I'm not ready.
I'm not a lesbian. Blah, 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 blah.
The honeypot is a vagina?
And yes.
And you attack with your mouth?
The beeve. No. Just, you know, kind of a friendly grope.
A friendly grope
through the jeans.
My mind is totally
awash.
It
really makes no sense. I don't understand, like, why the breasts are, like, okay, but you just, you know, you just... You grab the beeve and they're out the door, you know.
So this is the way it's happened to you every time.
Yeah, it's so... Wait,
you're licking someone's breasts or they're licking yours?
Well, both.
Both.
And that's, like, totally fine. You're both totally enjoying
that. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I touch your blue jeans and it's like, no way, sister.
I'm not that way.
Wow.
People are so cold.
It's really bizarre.
I find that people don't like human contact.
Maybe I just, you know, had the wrong...
Once you're licking nipples, I mean, you've
come on, I think all bets are off at that point.
That is
fascinating. I mean, you think the person was just...
Corey, no means no.
The bra has come off and everything, but the pants are still on. And you're trying to grab through the pants.
Because pants are so much harder to take off, you know.
I'm naked from the, you know, not me, but the metaphorical me is naked from the waist
your
up.
Your breasts are showing, which, as a woman, is a sexual organ.
Uh-huh,
they're
uh-huh.
like totally being licked.
Well, not for everybody, as we.
Yeah, see,
about
maybe this this whatever. Links back to the whole non-sexualness of the breast, but just like licking somebody else's skin.
Well, wait. So you're saying the honeypot comes before the butt?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I skipped the butt.
Well, what is the butt part?
I would not skip the butt if I were you.
Yeah, there's the whole grinding thing, which I...
excuse me.
Grinding? Please. Pelvic grind?
The pelvic grind.
So wait, that's the thing that I found the most sexy.
Oh, me too. Oh, my God. I could do that all day.
So you're talking... There can be pelvic grind.
And pelvic grinds going on?
What?
So you...
Sorry.
We're both talking. Boys. Butt gropes and pelvic grind.
Yeah, so okay, so you're kind of grinding, you know, you're doing the nipple oral contact and
this is all
butt
at the women's
grabbing.
Center, right?
Come on down to the number is
no. Wow. No it's not.
That's why they have the blinds down.
268 women's center.
No. No, really, I really wish you wouldn't say things like that about the women's center because we really, you know, do have a bad rep and
I apologize. And I was perpetuating that stereotype.
So,
no more mentions.
So how many, this is with women you were attracted to,
mm-hmm.
Okay, how many of these have you gotten that far and how many have run away? I guess all of them have run away at
Let's
that point.
Let's see, how many women have
that
I actually
so
got?
Could this just be a coincidence?
It really is,
like,
it's really tragedy.
Was it sort of a hygienically bad day?
Well, you see, I think that there are some aliens on a UFO and they plant attractive actresses on Earth. To taunt me.
Oh, these are actresses? Mm.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're aliens dressed up as attractive girls, and they say, we're going, you know,
you gotta stay away from the whole CFA crowd. They're, like, messed up.
Well, not just all CFA, but actresses and actors in particular, I think, are... This was... They're so sensitive.
So do you think there's a chance...
They're alive, living a lie.
Yeah,
they're acting
all the time. Is there a chance these women weren't...
They're always on.
Lesbian? And they were just exploring, and then
oh,
it
sure.
got
I mean,
to be too much
is,
for them?
College is the time in people's lives where you try different things and, you know, try
they
different lifestyles.
They were just playing a role,
and,
but when it came to the honeypot, the role was over.
That's, the role is over,
well,
exactly.
That makes total sense to me.
Yeah, totally.
But I guess what I'm so fascinated with is, so you're even talking about external honeypot mm-hmm. Pursuits.
Yes.
External honeypot pursuits.
How is grinding... I mean, pelvic grinding, just because you choose to
that's
use your hand.
That's honeypot to honeypot.
Exactly. I mean, to me, pelvic grinding is so far beyond what, you know, you
a friendly
might do
grope.
A friendly grope.
Yeah.
It's
well,
just, it's so
I think the pelvic grind has subtlety. I mean, you know, you could just be trying to get into a more comfortable position repeatedly or something. Mm. But
this is happening
backward, forward.
Bed, or are you standing up? Try to give me a vivid lesbian word
oh
picture.
Oh, God,
so
let's see.
I can be there.
On beds, let's see, you know, just about anywhere.
Well, so let's just step back. So you've got a friend, you've invited her over for some chamomile
tea.
What?
Tea.
No, I would never be that tacky.
You're wearing your flowing little frilly garb.
or tea and pasties, I don't know.
My pasties.
And maybe you've come over for a reason. Like, have you invented some sort of false scenario? Like, you just broke up with your boyfriend and you need a friend.
It's like Jill Sobule, I Kissed a Girl.
What?
We should have played that song. Sorry.
I hate that song.
I'm sorry. I'm sure you do.
How do the seduction scenarios happen? I mean, I'm really
How
curious.
Do the seduction scenarios happen?
Like, are these women that...
Well, I think much in the way that any seduction scenario happens.
No details. I want specific... details
okay.
from your past.
I'm fascinated with seductions. Yours will be another good example. Please go ahead.
What? Oh, let's see, seductions. Well, I, you know, as my history has shown, as a seducer, I am, you know, I suck. You know,
No. The seduction is when you
okay.
get them to lick your breasts. You've already seduced them at
oh,
that point.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
I usually strike out far before the grinding
yeah.
stage, personally.
if they go to grinding and you lose, it's just it's a tragedy. It's
I think it seems to be more all or nothing with men. I've never thought that you never hear stories about a man like kind of getting so far as to being scantily clad and licking the other person and then suddenly saying, no.
I don't go that way.
No. you already went.
Once you're that close to the male honeypot, you're pretty much in.
You're in.
The male honeypot
well, you know,
is bursting at the seams and ready to roll.
And I don't know that, I mean, no, well, did anyone ever say, like, no, I can't do this? I mean, usually what she'll say is, you know, I think we should stop, or, gee, I have to go to class, or, you know, or some excuse. So, yeah, exactly. So for all I know, I mean, maybe they really do have to go to class, you know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you don't think so?
And
they
I don't
would,
think any
would,
class
would
is worth
skip.
Missing the honeypot for.
Yeah.
That is so...
Well, you know, as I was saying, you know,
so
college
sad.
Is this very experimental time, and, you know, people, I think they get to a certain point, and they say, oh, well, I've experimented, and I don't like this. You know, but I don't want to be anyone's learning experience. Jesus.
Exactly. That
sounds like you already have been.
Yeah, totally. It sucks.
Have any of these people come back like 6 months later and they're like, I want to go to honeypot level 2?
Yeah, and I say, talk to the hand.
You had your chance.
Talk you had to your the hand. Hand.
I wish I knew what that meant. Talk to the hand.
You're kind of cruel. These people might need some time to get used to the idea. You've been thinking about it all your life, but maybe they haven't.
That's true.
Yeah.
I should give them some
But you don't, being the member of the dominant cultural paradigm as you are, you don't understand the pain.
Am I a member of a paradigm? Okay.
The pain.
I am a paradigm.
Hard-carrying het.
The pain of
rejection?
That homosexuals specifically go through. I can't tell you how many, like, college friends I had that were just, like, almost homosexual. You know, the punny pot.
The punny pot?
The punny pot.
Is that, are you sure you don't mean the puny pot?
Please do continue.
People are so cold. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that, you know, there were these affectionate moments and, like, let's touch, let's hold hands, let's caress. But there's a line that must not be crossed because we
and it's about right here.
She's talking about 2 weeks.
Stomach.
That at least in one case, 2 weeks later, the woman came back and asked for more.
Stage two.
So that's very different.
That
I
is
think.
Very different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So wait, so a woman actually came back and asked you for more and you
rejected? Well, I don't know. She didn't, you know, ring the doorbell and say, I want more, please, you know.
No, but right, but she came by and she was by herself and
yeah.
She knew what you were after,
yeah.
So.
But you have to understand why you cannot, I think there's a certain level of emotional maturity that you reach where you say, like, no, as intriguing as the idea is, I am not going to be your sexual breadboard.
Amen to that.
Shop, you know, shop.
And it's actually emotionally very difficult to be someone's like, I want to try this experience.
Yeah,
with
yeah. It's like, I'm not, you know, I'm not a snack cracker. You know, you can't. Well, I, you know, I don't want to eat this right now.
It's the difficulty of being a leader and a teacher and having followers
and a mentor.
And a role model.
This is so funny to me because Corey, you were the one who was encouraging me to pursue my friend, who.
We need to turn the gender of the friend.
The male.
Okay.
And because he had expressed some gay curiosity, and you were like, well, okay. You know, the situation was right there, but this is exactly what I would fear, is that somehow, you know, this first-time experience could just kind of, first of all, shatter the friendship, and second of all, just be, you know, kind of like halfway, and then like, sorry, not for me. And it's like, well, you know, how is that supposed to make you feel?
Why not? If it's your friend, you're helping them get along. You might get something out of it. Maybe not, but
you know. But what if they decide they don't like it afterwards? I mean, how's that going to make you feel?
And maybe if they feel just like, oh, that was really dirty. Like I
just feel. Yeah.
It's true. Your exposure of my hypocrisy is devastating.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I think I've pretty much decided.
But I won't tell you about the weekend.
But on the other hand, your friend was really hot, right?
And so, oh yeah, he was
when
just
they
here.
Are really hot, all bets are off. It's just like, okay, do me. You know, I don't care about the degradation. So it's worth the experience.
Degrade me. So how about if a very hot woman came to you and
yes.
Very hot.
Yes, but even though you'll have to be the expert
in
the mentor.
Yeah, it's exactly as Corey said. I mean, all bets are off. I mean, if
like
you know, she's
Stone
a hottie,
So do you, and this maybe...
You people are so physical. You're just down with the earth. You disgust me.
But is that, I mean, that's a perfect example of, like, the first of a gay male and somewhat gay female, I guess, a stereotype. I mean, you hear that a lot about gay men, but, I mean, are there women who are, quote, saving themselves?
What?
Like, you don't sound like you're, quote, saving yourself for that one special somebody that you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
I've talked to enough people, and they told me that,
so
you know,
special.
That's, you know, a crock, you know, so,
get it while you can, sister.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean,
it's funny because I've met some people who were saving themselves and they thought they found special somebody, and that special somebody said, and it really left them hurt and devastated and like, oh no, you know, I lost that one chance to have that purity and that, you know, amazing. Whatever stereotypical, you have one partner and you marry them and you die.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. Well, actually, no.
Yeah, actually.
Setting yourself up
could be
large
quite
expectations.
Exactly. Well, a couple of weeks ago, actually, I was under the. I decided that what I really needed was just to get laid with anything with mammary glands and a pulse.
So you went hunting. Richards.
No. You know, pretty much it was just like.
Just an epiphany.
What? What does that mean?
Kind of a sudden, real, powerful
emotional realization.
Well, no, it was just
a light bulb going off over your head.
It wasn't so emotional, it was more physical.
And, it was just sort of desperation. It was just like, all right, I've had enough.
So what did you do?
Well, so I was in a situation with an older woman, actually. Mm. I got to a point and I was like, oh, you know, I don't want to do this. I mean...
So you were the honeypot rejected.
Yes, I was. Okay. Wow. Yes, I was.
The tables are turned.
Yeah, and I really feel, I feel horrible about it. You know, I feel bad that I had to do that to her. But, you know, you just get to a point and you're like, you know, you don't want your first time to be
something. It just didn't
something.
Feel right.
No, exactly.
Was it going too fast, or did you realize that perhaps she was not, at that time, the right person for you?
Both. You know, plus... I was completely not attracted to her at all, which is definitely a factor.
I was just wondering if you felt like maybe if you had gone slower and maybe spent more time getting to know
each
other.
Yeah,
yeah. So
but I felt like because she was so much older, she felt like, all right, sister, let's cut to the chase, you know, like, you know.
I get you so today, much with all tomorrow this you'll fly away, so.
Yeah.
Let's do you.
It's like, you know, like once you get to a certain level of sexual experience, you don't spend more than, I don't know, like 2 minutes doing, you know. The nipple groping or something. You know, I don't know.
Well, you might talk for a while, too. Maybe you might appreciate her a little more.
Hello, how are you? Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, it's true. We never talked.
How about, you know, her grandchildren or something?
Oh, God. Yeah. No, she did have a daughter, an 11-year-old daughter, and as soon as I found that out, it was just like, oh.
But so many lesbians do have children, I find.
Yeah.
Because they find themselves in a traditional marriage paradigm. And years later, after being married and having children,
I don't think it's just that.
I always
object to when people equate sex with family. Family is a very worthwhile thing that may have nothing to do with sex.
Well, yeah, but I mean, specifically, I know a lot of women who were married to men and got their children that way. I mean, of course, I also know there are plenty of non-traditional ways to have children.
Well, you can be married to a man and still be a lesbian. I don't see that as a contradiction. Like, I don't see the contradiction of, well, whatever. It does say so, box. I don't want to get on. So.
Well, but you know, the point is, you know, lesbian mothers, I mean, that's fabulous, but they're old. You know, to me, I'm 20 years old. You know,
I want swanky college chica.
Yeah. You know, but then it's hard because all these girls in college are so damn confused and they're
experimenting. And there you are.
You know, so there's the rub. You know, there's the rub.
There is
the
season date with a 30.
Hey, well, that's true.
So, you know,
young, what was it? Early 30s.
Early
30s. Early 30s.
I think that sounds Diana. Just right about the time.
Diana, very sexy name.
Do we have that Paul Anka song? Diana? Never mind. I'm so young and you're so old.
Well, I lost my male-to-male virginity with somebody in their 30s.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose it's different for men because men actually go through their sexual prime at 18. Which really sucks.
I remember those years.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, they were great. Anyway, we won't lament here.
I think the whole maturity thing, though, is overrated. I think that everybody on the planet is totally screwed up.
Whoa! Where did that come
and
from?
Just years of bitterness. And you know, I started like waiting for the person who's got their blank together. Is ridiculous because everybody is totally messed up and I think the primary goal in partner finding is just to find somebody who you can live with and someone whose problems are not so bad. I mean, but waiting for the person who's totally figured out what they want in life, what they want in a partner, I think is a pipe dream.
Oh, geez.
I think.
Well, it's kind of fascinating because obviously if you're waiting for that, then you haven't really figured it out for yourself, so... Maybe.
I
reject I don't know.
That logic.
Okay. Too simple for you. Too black and white. But, yeah. Fascinating.
Sex.
Sex. Lesbian sex.
Lesbian sex.
Crazy so you say, stuff. I don't want my first time to be whatever, to be with
no,
this woman
with
you were not attracted
crusty
to.
Old hags. But,
so what is your first time going to be? You've gotten pretty...
Crusty old hags need not apply.
You've already submitted... emotionally in a way, so you're not a virgin emotionally. So what is going to be your first time other than
oh God, I don't know.
What you've done?
Hopefully it'll be, you know, I meet some chick, she's really cool, she thinks I'm really cool, we're both pretty, you know, into each other, and, you know, it just happens, you know, nothing forced, nothing...
But like romance, candles?
I don't know about candles, but definitely romance.
That's cool.
Dolphin shape. I mean,
what is the significance of this first time, though? How is it going to be different? Is it just a mirage in your head?
I think you're waiting
because
for...
Because now I'm a girl, and after that, I will be a woman.
Wow.
I think it's very simple. I think you're waiting for the first time to fall in love and have that love requited.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've been in love, you know, but it's just...
But it's been one-sided or
flawed
in some horrible tragedy.
Well, then, as it usually is.
As it usually is.
But so, then why do you have to treat... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying that. I think this is just... You are waiting for your first true love in life.
Yeah, I agree. That's a beautiful first time, and that's certainly the best of them all. But meanwhile, you're with this older woman. Why can't you have sex with her without thinking of it as the first time in the sense that was just described?
It just didn't feel right. I mean, A friend of mine just walked in. And all concerned now. No, actually, I felt like I was being...
You're not Joe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I felt like I was being molested, actually.
You felt like you were being molested?
Yes, I did. I just felt very...
That doesn't seem right.
...dirty, and no, and it didn't seem right at all, so I stopped. And
it wasn't a sharing thing.
Yeah.
Giving and taking.
I'm glad that you were able to stop.
And that was pretty hard to do.
Was the crusty old hag in question... Still trying to press on.
I think the crucial hack may be about our age, however, so, so I wouldn't
presumably much younger than we are.
I proudly wear the label of crusty old hag myself.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was, I was kind of stalling for time and you know, and avoiding her mouth like the plague.
So you weren't clear about it.
And then, you know, I didn't have any tactful way to say, you know, I'm sorry, this is disgusting. Do you think we could stop? You know, so I just said the first thing that came to mind, which was, I'm scared, you know, I don't know what to do. I don't want to do this, you know. And actually she said, oh, honey, there ain't nothing to be scared of.
Wow.
Really funny. And I said, no, no, no.
No, really, there is.
I really don't want to do this.
You're one liner.
Oh, did I say scared? I meant disgusted.
Yeah.
Totally.
So at that point, I kind of wrenched myself free from her grip.
Hmm.
I wonder, though, and this is going to sound a little bit sleazy.
Do it.
I mean, I think that there is something that happens to people, though. There's a transition between before you've ever, like, really had sex, and then once it's kind of like this routine thing.
Mm-hmm, I mean, definitely.
Is it possible that you're expecting so much from this first sexual encounter that no one could possibly satisfy your expectations because they've gotten so...
That's very possible, yeah.
I don't get that sense at all. I
mean, you know, I'm still waiting to be naked in a room with another woman who is naked. I mean, you know, I still think I'm...
Well, we can arrange that if that's all it takes. However, if we have to touch each other and do genitalia manipulation.
Yeah, no.
Locker room.
Locker room, whirlpool, man. It's all here for you at CMU.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey.
And they're piping hot now because, you know, all of the undergrads are back.
That's right.
Steamy.
You're invited to a party in my pants.
Exactly. No, I don't get the sense that that's the case with you because you have already had some experience, at least in being open with somebody else. I know a lot of people who are, quote, saving themselves are actually saving themselves even to the point where, like, they won't even get that far. And
yeah,
it's like
that's true.
You've actually gone after the pursuit, the veritable honey pot. But, you know, for one reason or another, it hasn't worked. So, I mean, in terms of that, I don't think you're setting your standards so high, but I definitely think you're keeping a good standard in terms of saying, you know, I want this to be more than just a roll in the hay with the first available orifice-bearing woman.
Thank you. That's exactly it.
It's just, I don't know.
That's exactly
That's
it.
The vibe.
And one of these days it will work.
Yes.
Oh. One of these days you will not be rejected when you reach for the honey pot at the end of the rainbow.
I keep getting this mad image of, like, a female lesbian Winnie the Pooh, and it's just, like, I'm a little black rain cloud. Anyway.
Oh, bother.
Corey's working on that one.
Call me the bitter crone, but I have to object to this. I think, actually, you have to have meaningless, tragic little sexual
encounters.
But
you have to have that later.
You have to burn that out of your system to learn what you really want. You have to, because... Otherwise, you just have too many unrealistic romantic fantasies.
But if you have those first, that can totally scare you away from all of your other sexual experiences. Like, I mean, if your first sexual experience is so horrifying and vile, like, it's going to take you so long to get back.
Maybe he's speaking from experience.
Exactly. Bad ones, but just have a variety mediocre of ones.
I think it would have. I would have ruined
me. Just sort of assume it's going to be so-so and move on from there.
But I mean, look what a tragic anomaly you are for, like, not even having sex with anyone.
Right, but actually, I can honestly say from experience, my first attempt at sex was one of the most mortifying experiences, and it continued on for like several years. And
wow, that's a long time.
No, it is. It's a very long time. When you're 15 years old and like something goes, quote, wrong with the sexual experience, and then somehow everybody in the high school knows about it.
Oh, man.
And yeah, like big time. And that like really, really was bad. And it ended up stemming from going too fast with somebody I probably shouldn't have been doing that with because I was not in love. And it was just like, well, sex for sex's sake. You know, we both want it. Let's do it. Blah, blah, blah.
It's not just for sex's sake. It's for growth and education. And
yeah, and then, like, we should try
peer
this.
Pressure. This is in the preteen or the teenage paradigm. I mean, right. At least when you're in the more 18-plus kind of community, it's a little bit different. A
little bit, but I wouldn't go so far as to say it's everything. I think a lot can happen that can be very bad if you're with somebody you just don't know if you can trust. And I really obviously couldn't trust this person.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the old, cranny old hag? Is that what
crusty
you call it?
Yeah, crusty old hag.
You know, and it's tough because when you're you know, intimate with someone, it's such a vulnerability thing. You know, you're making yourself, you know, and completely vulnerable, and to have them reject you, you know, it's just so debilitating. And, you know, how do you deal with that?
Well, but that's true.
Yeah, that's true of anyone.
Of people get through it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, exactly. You know, once you're a little bit more sexually hip, you're just like, you know, what's her problem? I'm over that. You know, you don't take it so personally when someone has some kind of like freakish mental breakdown because you realize it's them, not you. I'm telling you, from the voice of experience, I've been there, honey.
98% of the world is screwed up, according to our...
I think it was more than 98%.
I don't think I'm still over that, totally. I mean, there's always... all the insecurities come up when sex is in the table.
Get over it.
Deal with it, honey. I mean,
no, they're not crippling, but isn't that true for you? I mean, what little insecurities you have come up mostly at that point?
I think it used to, actually.
I can honestly say that I've found somebody that it doesn't with, so that's, I don't know. But that's just my own little tweak.
I think it's true, though. I mean, if you go out to have coffee with someone and they stand you up, you know, whatever, but if you're like... having sex with them and they stand you up. That's a little bit more painful.
Been stood up,
mentally.
Yeah.
Stand up, put your
physically,
on, get
too,
out.
If you're laugh at your penis bending in.
Yeah, whatever it happens.
Get up and go make an omelette, I guess.
Laugh or run screaming.
Yeah, yawn and get up and say, like,
I'm hungry.
This isn't working.
I have to watch Oprah.
Well, we're reaching the end. It's that time again.
You know, we need a final theme song for this show. If any callers can write in suggestions for our theme song.
What is our address, DJ?
Yes, we should do the address then. So our email, oops, scratch that. Our U.S. mail address is Loveline, care of WRCT, 5020 Forbes Avenue, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. Our website is available at http://loveline.wrct.org. That's org.
Gasm?
As in orgasm.
You know, Corey raised his eyebrows really seductively when he said colon. I thought I'd point that out to everybody who doesn't have the real video stream.
Well, I think it's very important to eat enough fiber and so on and
colon.
Keep your colon healthy.
Anyway.
And please keep those cards and letters. We do answer all of our email and all of our viewer mail.
It's not a great load yet, but it's increasing.
Our audience now, what is it, our listenership?
Yes.
I think we recently...
It's at least four.
400,000 in the Pittsburgh metro area alone, I believe.
Anyway, so Tomasina, it was very good of you to come.
Tomasina, final thought, brainwave.
Yeah.
I'm a woman. I'm an undergrad on this campus. I'm interested in other women, but I'm too, I can't, I don't know where to start. I have my friends would think I'm some kind of freak. What do I do?
And I don't want to put any load on somebody such as yourself either.
And you don't want to what?
I don't want to use you as a sexual breadboard.
Sexual breadboard.
What are the resources that I can use to learn more about myself and my potential lesbian feelings?
Well, I would recommend, first and foremost, calling the GLCC, which is the Gay and Lesbian Community Center.
That's a Pittsburgh thing. This is for Pittsburgh gay and lesbian youth.
Yes, it is. It's located on Forward Avenue. Forward, not to be confused with straight. Oh, I'm sorry. In Squirrel Hill. Is that right? Yeah. And they have a wonderful hotline for, you know, youth.
And it's really hot, too.
1-900.
What is the hotline for the GLCC?
I don't actually have the number, you know, on the top of my head, but I would recommend starting with that. Also, I'll actually just, you know, come to an Allies meeting here on the CMU campus. That's a wonderful idea.
Allies, now that's the campus organization. This is the No Assumptions.
Right, No Assumptions. I mean, we have, you know, we have straight membership, we have bi membership, we have, you know, everything. It's just people who, you know, are supportive of this struggle.
Alternative lifestyles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Alternative lives?
Oh, yeah.
Gay and lesbian?
For example,
No Assumptions.
Anybody who doesn't fit into the dominant dogs cultural paradigm is an alternate lifestyle.
Well, I guess I should go.
Allies, I should plug in, is meeting at 6 p.m. on this Sunday in the CMU Women's Center. So if you're curious, please.
Any good literature, like Anais Nin or like Nancy Friday, like... Good lesbian.
Nancy Drew. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh,
I actually read all of Nancy Drew's.
Really?
That should have been a key right there.
Yeah, right.
George is the best.
Sorry. Where's the Women's Center located?
Oh, it's on Margaret Morrison Street. It's, let's see. I'm horrible at giving directions.
That's okay.
It's next to the laundromat.
Yeah, it's next to the laundromat.
And it's near Forbes.
Margaret Morrison Street.
A total of 100 feet long. So
right. Yeah, yeah.
Knock on every door until...
Yeah, until...
A bunch of the Allies come out.
And you go, hi. Literature, let's see. Oh, I don't know. I'm not one for literature. Just pick up a Planet Q and read Dykes to Watch Out For. It's my favorite.
Well, you will have at least three avenues. Thank you again for coming. You have been listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. This has been Loveline, and nobody has understood me today.
That's not true. We understand you every day.
Thank you, Tomasina, again.
Yes, thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night, my lesbian friends.
Oh, I see M. Let's take a walk on the moon. Come on. Come on. Come on.
The proceeding was a production of WRCT Public Affairs. Listen every day at 5 p.m. for fine WRCT Public Affairs programming, only on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. If you have comments or questions regarding this or any WRCT Public Affairs program, send them to WRCT Public Affairs, 1 Margaret Morrison Plaza, Margaret Morrison Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. Or send email to gh1w@andrew.cmu.edu.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa. Pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you. So go and bother your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you. Yes, I do. You and your pussycat nose. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, you're so thrilling and I'm so willing to care for you.
You have been listening to WRCT.